Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Good afternoon, everybody. It is the Steve Jones Show on a Thursday. News Radio 1070 WKOK. Matt Catrillo here with you. Steve Jones will soon be there from the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And lots to continue today about our conversation yesterday about the Astros and that big report that came out a couple of days ago that Steve went through piece by piece during the 4 o'clock hour yesterday. You can check that out if you missed any of that over on stevejonesshow.com or Apple Podcasts or Google Play. And now today we hear from the Astros themselves on this cheating scandal. And it was a disaster. It was a disaster of biblical proportions. Jim Crane, the owner of the Astros, to me, after watching that press conference today, is an embarrassment to baseball. And that PR staff of the Astros could not have done a poor job in preparing the players, the coaches, and management to facing what the media had a question for them today. And they should be fired immediately. That press conference was an absolute disgrace for one of the biggest disgraces in baseball history. When you talk about ill-preparedness, Steve, and I've got plenty of audio to back it up in case people haven't heard it yet today. And that I was literally laughing while preparing this audio because this press conference was so bad today down in West Palm Beach.
Well, it's what I expected, unfortunately. How do I put this? Let's start with this. I'm going to guess that the Astros and or Major League Baseball got a consultant, a media consultant. I'm going to guess that. It's only a guess. And the reason why I'm guessing that is everyone knows that I do not have a high opinion of consultants. And the reason I don't have a high opinion of consultants is simple. I've done this a long time, so I personally don't feel like I need your help. And if I need advice, I will go to somebody that I trust. Okay, and we all have talked about before when people wanted a recommendation from me about a broadcast talent, right? And if it's somebody I don't know, I'll call somebody I do know, and I'll say, "Hey, send me 10 random minutes." In other words, I don't want to listen to the highlight tape. Right? That's me calling somebody I trust because I know they'll send me what I need, and then we can make a decision after that. You know. When you do this a long time, you have your own connections where you're not going to get BS'd by anybody. So I don't have a very high opinion of consultants because if you could, you would. If you can't, you consult. Meanwhile, all our programming people are going, "Oh, God, don't say that about the consultant." You know, I don't even know if we have a consultant, do we?
I don't believe so.
No, and guess what? You know why? Because we have smart people that are in the business and know it. And again, if you ever have a question about something that is going on, you call somebody you know, somebody you trust that will give you the right answer. And by the way, that doesn't mean it has to be a yes person answer. If it's, hey, I think you're kind of straying off in the wrong. Well, because you trust them, you'll listen to them. And I think this is a case where the Astros went out and got, or Major League Baseball, a media consultant, and this is what they came up with, where everybody walked away and go, what are you doing? Just let people just go out and talk. Just let them talk. Everything today is so homogenized all the time. It's just homogenized. Whenever they get into these group deals, everything is always tested out. You know, I'll bet this sounded tested out, right? Would that be fair?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, we got to come out. You don't forget. You got to say this. Just go out and talk, will you? Have the ability to think on your feet a little bit.
Jim Crane obviously didn't have that skill.
Yet Jim Crane has done. Jim Crane's one of the few owners, though, that off the cuff, if you're like, because they've obviously been to the postseason where there's more media and so forth. Jim Crane's always been one of the owners that when they've been in, their team has been in the spotlight, they've said to him at the last second, hey, can you come on and do something with anybody? Like Christopher Russo, for example, on Sirius XM. He said, hey, can you come over and take a, yeah, I'll do it. He's always been good about doing it. Now they're in now obviously they're in a tough spot right now. They're a bad spot. And I know that you're trying to back up. See, the balancing act he has is that you're trying to back up your players, back up your organization, while at the same time saying that if you go out and you rip your players because of what happened, now you look bad. So you're expected to have a fine line between everybody knows you did something wrong. It's right there in the report. Right? And now you have players apologizing for it, which means they know they were doing something wrong. And an owner that is at least trying to keep his stay on the good side of the players, because the last thing you need is say, well, he didn't have our back, I'm leaving. And that's the fine line he's trying to go with. But at the same time, you can't be ridiculous about it. Okay? They got fined $5 million for a reason, which is the max you can be fined. And they lost draft choices. But you can't go with the, okay, we talked to a group of consultants. I said, just talk to people. My goodness, it can't be. You always can't be canned all the time on everything. I suppose you have a little bit of it there.
I have two pieces of Jim Crane audio ready to go. The one in particular is the one that's been playing on Dan Patrick here on WKOK throughout the day with his contradiction of the impact it had, and then he had some other stupid things to say afterwards, too, a little bit later at the press conference.
All right, let's go with that first.
Okay. So this is on him on the impact.
Listen, the Yankees have had a few comments out there. You know, our opinion is, you know, that this didn't impact the game. We had a good team. We won the World Series, and we'll leave it at that.
Jim, when talking about the Yankees there, did you say you feel like this didn't impact the game? And what do you mean by that?
I didn't say it didn't impact the game.
yeah, you did.
I mean, are you serious?
the issue I have in all of this, believe it or not, is not whether it impacted the Yankees. Okay, no offense, but I really, not all that concerned about it when it comes to that, as to whether it impacted the Yankees. All right? My concern is I want the integrity of the game. That's the biggest concern I have. If this turns out it's the Yankees, it's the Yankees. Just like it was the Dodgers, it was the Dodgers. And if I recall, in 17, they beat the Red Sox first, and nobody's talked about that. Okay? It seems like nobody's talking about, all the teams they beat in the playoffs. What bothers me more than that, it bothers me they did it, and it bothers me about a variety of things. But what bothers me is, for example, you're a guy like Matt Cotrillo, who's battled his way through the minors, finally gets his shot, and finally you get into that three-game series with the Astros, and they're stealing signs, and they know you're going to throw your slider, they know you're going to throw your curveball, they know you're going to throw your fastball, and they belt you around for four runs in two-thirds of an inning, and you get sent down. And not only that, the confidence in the organization gets sent down with you. After you fought your entire... Now, they may have scored four runs off of you in two-thirds of an inning without stealing a sign. But the fact is that they were stealing signs all the time and doing it electronically. It lessens your chance to show what you could do. Now, maybe you're not major league worthy, but maybe you are, and everybody lost confidence in you because you pitched two games on the Astros in the three-game series, got belted around, and you're like, I don't understand. I thought my stuff was good. And I said, maybe my stuff's not that good. They crushed me. And it turned out they knew what you were throwing. See, that's a bigger concern for me than whether the Yankees were wounded by this. I mean, the integrity of the game is the biggest issue, but the second issue to me is those marginal players that are trying to make their way in. If they cost somebody their career, cost them their dream. See what I'm saying here, Matt?
I do agree with that, and it should be that first. But I think the reason why the Yankees gets blown out of this is because Joe Girardi lost his job the day after Game 7.
Yeah, well, he lost his job too, yeah. But he also lost his, as opposed to the kid who never had a job.
Right. No, yeah, exactly right. The bottom line is jobs were lost because of this, no matter who you were, and that's a problem in itself, no question.
Yeah, I mean, that's a big problem. That is a big problem. As for Chapman complaining, when you only throw fastballs, I think they already know a fastball is coming, don't you? We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Sunbury Motors Ford is coming off with their best-selling year in its 105-year history. SMC is committed to Ford Motor Company to sell 1,000 new Fords in 2020. Wow! Pick from 25 of the totally redesigned 2020 Ford Escapes, and they start as low as $21,960. Take up to $7,500 off MSRP of the all-new 2020 Ford Explorer, and they're priced from just $33,965. Sunbury Motors is Central PA's truck capital. Choose from over 120 Ford F-150s and Super Duties. Super Duty. The F-Series truck has been the number one selling vehicle for 43 consecutive years, and SMC has them on sale for as low as $26,794. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, proudly serving the Susquehanna Valley's transportation needs for over a century.
We'll be right back.
All right. So the Astros met with the media today and did a tremendous job in advancing the cause and healing. No. In fact, to their credit, I think they did more today to help out minor league baseball than any other group could have. Because right now, Major League Baseball looks so bad. Do you want to look like the heavy to 42 towns in minor league baseball right now? You need a win, okay? And minor league baseball, in terms of the 42 towns, you have control. You can get yourself a win. You need a win.
They
and the Astros
that.
Aren't helping you. Hey, you have control over that, okay? Win, okay? Make yourself look good. Here's Jim Crane earlier today. Not exactly advancing the Astros' cause.
Do you believe that the Astros should still retain the 2017 pennant, you know, despite the way that the team cheated?
Listen, the commissioner made it clear that it wasn't going to go backwards. The championship would stay intact, and I agree with him.
Jim, are you confident your team didn't use any wearable devices or buzzers during the 2019 season?
The commissioner addressed that in the report, and I'm confident it's accurate. I've discussed it with the players, and they've assured me that nothing like that ever happened. There's no substance to that whatsoever. And I believe AJ made a comment last night and cleared that up. I truly believe there was no buzzers ever, and I don't even know where that came from.
May I ask, is it cheating?
Excuse me?
Do you use the word cheating? Was this cheating?
We broke the rules, and you can phrase that any way you want.
But isn't sign stealing a distinct advantage for the hitter, so doesn't it automatically impact competition?
It could possibly do that. It could possibly not.
Okay.
It's just like watching somebody fall down the stairs, honestly.
Well, again, remember, is it cheating? Yes. Now, do you have to be good enough to execute? I mean, just because you steal the sign doesn't mean you hit it. You know what I mean? I mean, you could still foul it up. They could also say they're throwing a curveball. I'm expecting a curveball, and I get so anxious he throws it in the dirt and I miss it. You know. But you do have to take that into account. Just because you do something doesn't mean it automatically works for you. You know what I mean? It's cheating. Then you had to be good enough to make it pay off. How about that? And they were good enough to make it pay off. They got a lot of really good young talent on that team. Imagine how Clayton Kershaw feels, though. Who's already struggled in the postseason to begin with. I mean, remember that World Series against the Astros?
Oh, yeah. He was clobbered.
He couldn't get him out to save his soul. Other than that, I think it's a really good day. Well, Kevin Colbert said today that Ben Roethlisberger's rehab is not near the end yet. Altuve apologizes for actions, as did Bregman. Aroldis Chapman, Altuve's 2019 jersey grab, suspicious.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. The Astros met with the media today. Turned out terrific. Rob Manfred sitting in his office saying, "What are we doing here?" Like, can I call Bud Selig and ask him if he wants his job back? I'm not having fun at all. All right. Yeah, other than that, I thought for the most part it went really, really well. I thought they came out looking great. Oh. Unreal. Well, Mel Tucker is the new head football coach at Michigan State. Brian Howell covers Colorado football in Boulder. Brian, first of all, welcome to the show. It's great to have you with us. You barely got to know him, Brian. He barely got to know him. He was there 1 year. Can you get any read? I mean, before we get to him going, could you get any read on him as what kind of head coach he was in just a year?
Yeah, you know, actually, he was very well liked by the players, very well liked by, you know, everybody on the staff. And I don't mean just the football staff. I mean the athletic department. He made an impression in the first year. The media really liked him. I mean, he was really easy to work with. And, you know, it just all around, up until about 2 days ago, that you couldn't really find anybody to say anything bad about him. And there's been nothing good said about him in the last couple days. But
right.
up until 2 days ago, you know, you really couldn't find anything bad about him that people would say, because he was just so well-liked by just about everybody.
In the year, they ended up going 5-7. If I recall correctly, Colorado got off to a 2-0 start. Now, obviously, when you're taking a job like that, you're not going to walk into the greatest situation. That's why you got the job, okay? So did they meet expectations, exceed, not get there? What's your opinion? Because they had Chenault Montez, at least they had a good start, a quarterback and a wideout.
Yeah, you know, it ended up being their third straight 5-7 season. And, you know, I think that they were maybe a little below expectations, but, I mean, this is a program that, you know, they've been to one bowl game in 12 years. So, you know, they've certainly got some building to do. But I think when you look at the fact that they had a fifth-year quarterback who was a three-year starter in Steven Montez, you had LaVisca Chenault, who is projected as a first-round pick,
right,
you know, at receiver. And then you go 5-7, and a lot of it was your offense. The last seven games of the season, I think they averaged 16 points per game. And, you know, when you've got those guys on offense and that's what you're doing, you know, offensively, that's not good. So in that regard, I think that they, you know, come up a little bit short of expectations. But as far as him establishing kind of his program, they met the expectations. So, you know, I think most CU fans felt a heck of a lot better about this 5-7 than the previous two.
Okay. So then the Michigan State job opens. Is this where being in the Pac-12 is a negative, because the Pac-12's money deal, media-wise especially, is not on par with the Big Ten's, and thus a Big Ten school can spend more money? Is that the concern in Colorado right now?
Yeah, I think in this particular case, absolutely. And I think Mel Tucker is gone because of money. And, you know, you look at the contract that he got, and it's more than double the salary he was going to make this year at Colorado. From what I've read, they would double the assistant coaching pool that he had here at Colorado. You know, Michigan State's revenue is about $50 million more than Colorado. So, you know, you put all that together, and you know, how would you turn that down if you're Mel Tucker, right?
Sure.
And you know, Colorado can't compete with that. There was talk of, well, I didn't really give Colorado a chance to counter. Colorado wasn't going to match that anyway. So. Their counteroffer probably would have been laughed at. So, you know, they were going to pay him about 2.7 this year. They maybe could have come up 3.5 or 4. Well, that's nowhere near the 5.5 he's making at Michigan State. So, yeah, I think that in this particular case, this is an example of Big Ten revenue, you know, trumped what they have in the Pac-12 right now.
Moving forward, is that going to be a concern for all Pac-12 schools?
I think for most of them, you know, I think a school like Oregon, you know, maybe Washington, not as much, maybe right. USC, not as much, but, you know, when you're looking at, you know, the Arizona schools, you're looking at Colorado, you know, I think that it could be a concern for some of those schools. And, you know, the conference distribution, there was about a $25 million difference between the Big Ten and the Pac-12 last year. And And when you look at the projections, that's only going to grow over the next 5 years.
All right, Brian, Mel Tucker, his background has always been on defense. Could you tell certain concepts defensively where he had an imprint on Colorado?
Yeah, they were, you know, he didn't quite do exactly what he wanted to because of the personnel here. He was working on building that.
Exactly.
But, I mean, defensively, they got better from the start of the season to the end of the season, and they started doing some different things and bringing pressure from different area. But one that he really made is he really transformed the defensive line in the 14 months. That was a weakness when he got here, and it's projected to be maybe the strength of that defense this year. So he made more of an impact probably in personnel, an impact that maybe we'll see after he's gone than we got to see in just the 1 year he was here.
Did you get a sense as to the type of recruiter he happens to be?
Yeah, he made a lot of strides in recruiting. And in fact, he just obviously put the finishing touches on a recruiting class last week that is in the Pac-12. So he made a lot of impressions in recruiting, signed some four-star kids that they didn't normally pass. So, you know, we'll see if these kids stay here. But, you know, he was making an impact in recruiting, and that's part of why he was loved so much by the fans.
All right. So where to from here for Colorado?
Well, they certainly got to start over, and you'll find a coach here quickly because spring ball starts in about 4.5 weeks. So you got to try to figure that out. And you know, there's been a lot of names thrown out there, and I'm not sure where they're going to go. You know, the hot name is Eric Bieniemy, you know, the Kansas City Chiefs offensive coordinator, who you know, is the Buffs' all-time leading rusher. He's an NFL guy, though, and I'm not sure, you know, how interested he's going to be in jumping back into the college ranks where you have to deal with recruiting and all that stuff. So I know they'll talk to him, but whether he wants that job or not, I don't know. So it'll be interesting to see what they do.
Will Mel Tucker take any members of the Colorado staff with him that you know?
I would expect he would maybe take a couple, and this is one area where you were talking about budgets. I'm not sure if Tucker's staff was assembled last year based on what he could afford or what he really wanted. And I think now that he's got $3-plus million dollars to work with, does he get more of what he wants as opposed to maybe, you know, giving some young guys some opportunities that were cheap this last year? So they really like, he really liked the offensive line coach, Chris Kapilovich, who's a highly respected offensive line coach. It's interesting that Michigan State's strength coach just announced his retirement this morning, and Tucker loves CU strength coach. So those are two guys that I could see potentially going to Michigan State.
Can I ask you a couple of basketball questions?
Sure.
Good, because you got a heck of a basketball team. And when they look, when they start doing some advanced work on looking at lines as to what lines teams may end up on, usually Colorado and Penn State at the moment are in the same neighborhood. What really impresses you about Tad Boyle's team?
Yeah, it's a veteran group that's been together. This is their third year together. There's a lot of juniors on this team.
Yep.
And, you know, they're really strong inside, but they also got one of the better guards in the country. So they've got some depth, and they've got inside, but also with the guard play. The question for me is how well they're going to play outside of Boulder, because they're really good in Boulder, and sometimes they're good outside of Boulder.
Yeah, sometimes they're good, yeah. I mean, but you know what?
Right.
But again, that has been, let me put it this way, the first 42 Big Ten road games this year. Now, it's changed a little bit, obviously, because Penn State's won 4 road games in a row. But the first 42, the home team of the Big Ten was 36-6.
Wow.
Now, that's changed in the last few weeks, but it shows you what home court is at least at times meant, which is remarkable. How do people take to basketball there? I mean, I know Colorado football has always been a big deal. So, A, what has been the recent attendance of Colorado football? Because it hasn't been, obviously, record-wise, the greatest run the last dozen years. And how do they take to basketball?
Yeah, attendance-wise, actually, that was another area that Tucker had an impact this last year. They had 2 sellouts this year, which
right.
was the first time, I think, in 12 years or so. It was their highest attendance in several years, average-wise. So He made an impact there as well. But basketball-wise, you know, it's a football school. You know, people love their football here. This is mainly a Broncos town, you know, so really anything outside of Broncos is secondary. But, you know, when Colorado basketball is good, the people show up. When it's not, they don't. Good, and so people are into that basketball team. But it's certainly – it's interesting around here because, you know, from our media perspective, you know, as basketball team is, if you write something on football, that's going to be the top story that was read that day. So,
no question.
You know, basketball is secondary, but certainly this team has gotten the Colorado fan base excited.
And I'll say this. I mean, your coach is – I mean, at least for me personally, is a great guy to deal with, Tad Boyle. Great guy.
No question. He's the best. You know, best coach I've dealt with. Regardless of sport, and you know, I love that guy, and you know, he's more because he's gotten to the tournament a lot and lost in the first a lot. But you know, you couldn't ask for a better coach.
Yeah, no, but he's been nice to me over the years. Great to me. He's come on the show when we've asked him about rules and things like that. He's awesome. Hey, Brian, thanks a lot for your time. Really appreciate your perspective very much.
No problem. Anytime. Thank you.
Valentine's Day is tomorrow. And don't forget, if you'd like to phone in your Valentine wishes to that special someone, it's 1-800-THE-SUIT. That's 1-800-THE-SUIT. Call now. An operator is standing by. See, it actually works out perfectly. You like that?
Yeah.
You're kind of shocked by it, though. I can tell. When's his next game, by the way?
That's it. Done for the year. Jigalumbi had their season finale the other night at Southern Columbia and lost. Lost with like 4 seconds to go.
Oh, the game you did?
Yeah, that was the last game of the year.
Wow. Huh. Are they blaming you?
Surprisingly, no, I did not get to blame.
Well, let's think for a moment about the constant all season. Yeah, that's coming to play, doesn't it? So they're done, huh?
Yeah, they are done for the year. It was a tough one for Jigalumbi.
It's February 12th. Wow.
Yeah, the conference playoffs are this week, and then week after, towards the end of next week.
I'm surprised they're not in it. In high school, everybody makes it now, right? The heck?
Yeah, they had to be 500 or better.
What?
I know.
When did they start with the standards? This is kind of like the same standard I'd be using in football.
You can thank District 11 for that.
Good. It's about time. Football should do the same thing. You should be 500 or better. Make the postseason. You don't? Okay? It's the way it goes. Now, there's some people that don't like me saying that, but I you can't make the playoffs in high school football like the Iowa primary where everybody wins. It's like a T-ball game. We're all in the playoffs. We all won. No, you didn't. That's not how life works. For little kids, that's fine. Now you're in high school. Okay, now... I don't know. I don't get that. But we had a really good year. We were 4-6. What? Am I missing something here?
Are we getting back to the Astros press conference today?
Well, the Astros press conference now. They won over 100 games. Look, they need to ban all video in dugouts to begin with. Where you can't even look. I mean, take all the video. You got to strip down every ballpark of video equipment. You got to. Okay? You have to. Except for, obviously, the TV stuff. But you got TV monitors up in, but not where the club can look at it. You need to hire you need to hire 15 more umpires to be video consultants up in the box. You need to have control over video in all the ballparks. It's not going to solve every problem that you have, but it's a step towards solving some problems where the clubs can't look at replays. They can't. And guess what? If you got to manage the game with some gut instinct, you better do the same thing with your replay. I think I should challenge that. Okay. Doesn't work. You know, they're always stopping looking back at the guy like, should we challenge it? Should we? No, you can't do that anymore. Stop. You blew the privilege. All you did. I mean, you think the Astros are the only ones? They aren't the only ones out there. But Bob Melvin of the A's was right. You can complain to the front office of Major League Baseball all you want, but they, in the end, did need a former Astros player to step forward and say, yeah, this is what we did, and this is how we did it. And that's what Mike Fiers did. And what they did was blatant. Now, you have to execute it. But see, the person I feel badly for is that person that's trying to somehow make it, and of all the luck, they end up that when you finally get called up, you get them and you get blasted by them. Because look, let's remember this, okay? The Astros are a talented team to begin with. I mean, Correa, Bregman, Altuve, Springer. I mean, it's not a team that's not devoid of talent, and somehow because they cheated, they lucked into this. I mean, what it did was it in all likelihood, when all things were even talent-wise, especially when they got to the playoffs, it gave them the advantage to get past people. They had a three-game series with the Miami Marlins in an interleague game. I mean, interleague series. I mean, exactly how much do you think it meant that they were stealing signs? It's the Marlins. But when they're facing the Red Sox, the Yankees, the Dodgers, yeah. Now you do have an advantage. And that is... But again, it's the guy that I think that's the borderline guy that's on the staff, you know. And then suddenly they've got a they're trying to somehow keep their job alive. They had to face this group. And they knew he was throwing a slider every time. Mark Brennan, next half hour, we'll talk about Penn State basketball, the 13th ranked Nittany Lions in the Jordan Center, Saturday to take on Northwestern at noon. Part of a day-night doubleheader. And then Jeff Byers, the voice of Penn State Wrestling, will be on Friday's show. Also on Friday's show, Mike Mescal is going to join us. A lot going on. Great to have you with us. Brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 to 15 in Hummel's Wharf on News Radio 1070 WKOK.